I was going to start off by saying, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
Like Montel Williams.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
To the Atypical
Design
one
Studio.
Episode 2.
Where we are going to talk about art and artisans and where we get inspiration and how we choose what to use in our clients' spaces. Those hard-hitting questions that everybody seems to have. So I think, where should we start?
Well, I mean, I feel like we could talk about some of the places we like to source from, or just kind of like how it comes about on different projects. I feel like every project is different with, you know, the process of selecting art. Sometimes it starts with a piece that a client has. Like, there's been so many times where we've actually designed a space off mm-hmm. of a particular piece of art that a client has had for years and they love and they've invested in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we are the ones that really help them find the pieces because they're not really sure what they love.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. A lot of times when we're brought in, I feel like clients are more often than not self-conscious about their art and their stuff, and they don't know what they should keep and what they should get rid of and if it's going to fit in with the remodel, or they have a special piece that was like passed down from their grandmother, and they're like, I really love this, but I don't know if I should use it. And then other times people have stuff that they've been hanging on to for years that they don't even like, that they're like, I don't know why I keep hanging on to this, but I guess now is the time to get rid of it because it's not going to fit. Yeah. And so I think it's like a good point to like go through your space and do a gut check of like what you actually love in your space versus what you've just been hanging on to. Because that's kind of what we do, a first step with our clients, and be like, if you could only take like the very necessities, what would you take? And yeah.
We also find a lot of value though in like, you know, if somebody has an emotional attachment to something and maybe it is something they've been holding mm-hmm. on for years, but they don't know how to incorporate it. There's lots of little tricks of the trade to be able to maybe even reframe it or,
mm-hmm.
You know, get the right lighting or integrate it into an art wall or something mm-hmm. like that. So
I feel like reframing is huge.
Yeah.
That is like a big tool that we use with art that maybe is older or doesn't quite fit the space. It's amazing what a frame and a mat can do for a piece of art.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, also just hanging it at the right height and,
mm-hmm.
you know, making sure that it, like I said, has the right lighting. Like, there's mm-hmm. just a lot of tips, but a lot of people just, they love art, but they don't know where to start.
Right.
So, you know, we just went to New York on an art trip with Umoca, which was really awesome. It's the second one we've done. We went to Art Basel prior,
mm-hmm.
and that has been extremely informative and helpful for us as far as sourcing and learning about different artists and how to find great work for our clients.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing is about UMOCA is the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, for those who don't know. And it's a really cool space downtown Salt Lake City that they give a lot of opportunity to emerging artists, emerging local artists, and they also are able to carry more established artists. They get stuff in that's super cool and opens our eyes to the art world, and we've been involved with them for a couple of years, and that's where I was first introduced to some artists like Andrew Alba, who's local, who we use his art a lot. He's awesome. I have his pieces in my house because he's just super cool, but I found him through UMOCA, and then also Patrick Dean Hubble, who is a super amazing artist that does these like multimedia pieces, and ended up being able to get a couple of his pieces for some clients of ours. And the first time I saw his stuff was at the UMOCA, even though he was a kind of more of an established artist. It's really cool to be able to like go into some place and have your eyes open like that.
Yeah. And it's nice too, because if you can build relationships with in the art community and also with particular artists, you know, there's opportunity to commission pieces and, you know, really work with the artist to create something that's unique and special for your space and, yeah, and the design that we hope to work on.
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know, what was your favorite part about New York as far as what we saw?
Yeah, that was the thing. We go on these art trips with the UMOCA and are able to go to a bunch of different art fairs and see galleries. And then while we were out there, we went and visited a bunch of showrooms that we really like from a design perspective, like furniture showrooms and makers and things like that. And so I think a favorite always is BDW. They have an incredible showroom. They make such cool pieces, like handcrafted leather furniture pieces and ceramic pieces that are all one of a kind. They're truly artisan, super cool, unique, kind of like tongue in cheek, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
It's not too serious, even though it's basically like fine art in furniture and accessory form.
That's a really good point, because I feel like people sometimes don't understand that furniture, mm-hmm, and the things that you actually use that are functional in your space can also be art and, mm-hmm, created by artisans and not just, you know, for the function of being able to sit or eat or sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of opportunity to work with artists in interior design besides what you just hang on your wall. Yeah. Light fixtures.
Yeah.
I mean, so we just really value looking in, you know, the far and away of all the different places to find.
Distant lands.
Yeah, the distant, over yonder. but yeah, just like, you know, trying to not always stay on the beaten path.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's another thing, is like one of the places that we're super inspired by is the Future Perfect. They are a company that has like showrooms in LA and New York, and I think San Francisco, but we've only been to the LA and New York ones. But basically they just design an entire house using the lines that they carry, and it's all super cool, artisanal, maker inspired furniture pieces and lighting and pottery and rugs, and they just like design it in a way that makes it feel like a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always find new brands, new makers when we go there, and get super inspired by how they're able to like layer all these cool pieces and even decorate their bathrooms, mm-hmm, in like super cool, unique ways with like tons of art and like a little bit over the top, but still really refined and high end.
Yeah. It's also just super interesting to see their studios and how they come to create their pieces. We actually stumbled upon Jason Koharik, I think is how you say, mm-hmm, it, who happened to be like an old friend from back in the day. And his space is just so incredibly creative. And then to see his pieces actually at Future Perfect, mm-hmm, at a later date was like such a cool thing. And to have that background and understanding of like where it came from and, yeah, be able to share that information with our clients is really exciting and fun.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think there's places like Apparatus and Lindsay Adelman that are making really cool lighting, sculptural lighting pieces. That's awesome, that we've used in projects in the past. They can customize it, so it's not like you can buy something just, you know, off their website, or they're very open to collaborating with designers on creating something truly unique. So for the right clientele that wants kind of a show-stopping piece, be it a chandelier or sconces or something like that. That's something that we definitely like to use in our projects because I think we both like to use a mix of high-low and new, old, and we incorporate a lot of vintage because a lot of vintage stuff is sculptural and unique and high quality, and they don't make it like that anymore. Even in our office, we have a ton of vintage furniture pieces because you're not gonna walk in and be like, oh, I've seen these chairs at every other office space I've been into. So vintage pieces are a super cool way to get that kind of like almost art-like sculptural look in your space without having to spend a ton of money.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also the value in reusing things, not mm-hmm. being wasteful. So I think that that's a really important aspect in our industry is to look at repurposing, especially with clients who have, you know, antiques or heirlooms or, mm-hmm. you know, things that they've been holding on to for years. So we really like to, you know, bring life to those things and make the space feel very personal.
Not have stuff end up in a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that sucks.
The construction industry is notoriously very wasteful. So yeah, we try to avoid that. But yeah, I think the main thing is sort of layering pieces of art that you have, knowing that art isn't just what's on the wall, that it's also sculpture. It can be furniture, pottery, lighting, all of
and
these
and it's
things.
Kind of an investment like art is. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the times people get a little bit afraid to spend money on, you know, a chandelier or a table or mm-hmm. something like that. But there's value in it for a lot longer mm-hmm. than something that is a quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not going to break in like a year. I mean, we always tell people that, you know, we want to inform our clients about the value of things and not just the price of things, because it is, if you have to replace something every couple of years because it's falling apart, because it's not high quality, it's not really a good value. And so that's something that we are aware of also.
We also love to find unique pieces like mm-hmm. flies on the wall and pigeons. banana art.
We're big fans of banana art. There's some more coming soon. You should stay tuned. There's some high quality banana art.
Modern art.
By yours truly.
Good stuff.
But art is funny. I mean, it's like going to some of these shows, you see like the weirdest shit. And it's like, wow, art can truly be anything. And you can price it however you want. And good on you.
Yeah. It's a good way to get out there. Evoke emotion. So whether that's like a funny, happy feeling versus, you know, nostalgia or even sometimes sadness can be cool. Like when you're mm-hmm. looking at something, it's just that it's like creating an emotion, which is what's so subjective and personal to people. Right. So art is definitely one of those things that we really try to hone in on with the client so that we understand what they're drawn to.
Right. Yeah, I think it is so subjective that when we are sourcing pieces, usually it's easier when you've had a longer term relationship with a client and you guys know each other pretty well, then you can kind of have a sense of what they're drawn to for art versus a brand new client and you're trying to send them ideas for art and they're like, yeah, that's not our vibe.
Yeah. So we value the get to know you phase.
Yes, exactly. And also like the explanations behind the art. A lot of times when we go just look at stuff ourselves, it doesn't make a ton of sense. And then you either read up about the actual piece or you understand what it is that it's made of or the artist's intention or the story behind it. And all of a sudden it takes on this whole new meaning and it's like, it starts to make sense and resonate with you a little bit more. So I think that's another important factor for us too, is being able to provide the story mm-hmm. behind the piece.
Yeah. There's been plenty of times where I'm like, but then I hear, you know, how it was created and why it was created. And it opens up a whole nother perspective.
For sure.
So Yeah, anything else? I think, well, Lauren and I were talking about, you know, potentially creating something where we would, you know, take potential clients or even just art lovers or design lovers on a trip to kind of see some of these showrooms mm-hmm. that have the furniture side of stuff that we love so they can learn about it. So let us know if you might be interested.
Yeah, I think it would be really fun to put together a list of spots to see in different cities that are very like design friendly places so that we could all kind of get a behind the scenes look at the makers, the artisans, the shops, how they operate. And I mean, that goes all the way down to like, you know, tile manufacturers, because a lot of them are still handmade and they're made here in the United States and they have very specific processes. So I think it would be really, really cool to like set up a tour of that sort of stuff. So like hit us up if you're interested.
We're really fun to travel with.
We are. We're great. Cameo gets wasted all the time.
We don't walk too fast. We just keep it mellow.
We walk slow. I eat, you know, 7 meals a day. We have...
It's true. We eat a lot.
15 coffees a day. Mm-hmm. We don't start too early. Mm-hmm. We like to be done early.
Yeah, we go to bed early these days.
It's great. It's great. So if you're interested in any of that, let us know. Yeah. Make sure you like and subscribe and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for joining.
Bye.
Episode 2.
Yeah.